When humans hit the trails, wildlife plays a complex game of hide and seek. It's a balancing act between wildlife and human visitors at our national parks. With more, here's InfoTrack reporter Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. In recent years, an uptick in visitors to national parks caused concerns about the effects on animal behaviors there. Now, researchers have completed a study and paper on this issue. Joining us is Dr. Caitlin Gaynor, a zoologist at the University of British Columbia and the paper's lead author. Dr. Gaynor, before we dive into the details, let's start with how a study like yours about the effects of people on these animals can be so valuable. First, it can guide those who work to conserve the species in the U.S. national parks?
Yes, it absolutely can. Our U.S. national parks have this dual mandate to conserve wildlife and wild places while also providing recreation opportunities for people. And as recreation is becoming more and more popular, it can be harder and harder to balance that dual mandate. And so by understanding how wildlife are responding to human presence and human infrastructure in our protected areas, it can help us understand some potential negative impacts of recreation and better balance recreation and conservation.
And the conservation would involve, I would assume, not just the animals you studied, but also perhaps other animals and the plant life that the animals use for food?
Yes, of course. I mean, these national parks are home to functioning ecosystems with many different species. We studied a lot of the big charismatic megafauna, the grizzly bears and mountain lions and wolves, and of course the things they eat as well, the deer and the elk and the moose. But, you know, all the way down to the plants, all of the species in protected areas can be impacted by humans.
And can your results also inform program managers on what people are allowed to do for recreation and where? Is that right?
Yes, you know, we looked at where animals were going in relation to where trails are and visitor centers and parking lots. And by understanding how this infrastructure and the humans using the infrastructure affect the animals, we can perhaps set aside certain areas, maybe just for the animals, and then prioritize other areas for human use.
So now let's talk about the study in detail. It notes that animals in protected areas frequently adjust their movements to avoid people, roads, and places built for people to use. So these animal responses effectively reduce the amount of habitat and, quoting your paper now, can have costly physiological consequences that compromise individual survival and reproduction. Wow. How does the presence of infrastructure bother the animals so much?
Well, of course, the infrastructure itself can lead to things like vehicle collisions with animals. That's a pretty obvious impact when an animal gets hit by a car and it dies. But just by avoiding areas with a lot of human infrastructure, animals can suffer from negative consequences. If avoiding infrastructure means avoiding really high quality habitat and then not getting enough food that they need to reproduce and to feed their young. And just by being stressed out all of the time from trying to constantly having to dodge people and navigate human infrastructure, that stress can also be costly to them and lead to reduced lifespans and repressed reproduction.
And on the other hand, some animals like to hang out near places for humans because the animals feel a bit safer. How does that work?
Yeah, so we saw this, you know, with deer and elk, and I'm sure everyone has the experience of seeing animals in their backyards that really don't care that people are around, that are habituated to human presence. And we see this a lot with prey animals, because the big predators tend to be pretty wary of people. And so your wolves and mountain lions, we found, are avoiding areas of high human use. But what that does is create a refuge for their prey. And so the things that those big predators eat can find safety alongside people. And so there are different winners and losers with human infrastructure and impact.
We're visiting with Dr. Caitlin Gaynor, a zoologist with the University of British Columbia. Their study documents effects of human beings and infrastructure on wildlife. The journal Proceedings of the Royal Society B, Biological Sciences, published the study. Now, some of the species you studied, which you just mentioned, included bighorn sheep, elk, moose, etc. You studied whether animals tended to use the parks differently when the COVID lockdown kept a lot of people away. What did you find?
What we saw was actually, by and large, that animals still avoided human infrastructure, whether or not people were using it. And that was a bit surprising. But when we dug in a little bit more, we did find that those animals that were really living in the thick of human disturbance did change their behavior. So an animal that was spending a lot of time in highly developed areas with a lot of infrastructure started using areas around people more. But by and large, there wasn't this massive shift because a lot of animals just frankly probably didn't even realize that the parks were closed.
Animals had to decide for themselves, like humans do sometimes, risk versus reward. They had to decide whether using remote areas versus developed areas was in their best interest.
Yes, of course. And human activity when people were in those developed areas was often associated with risk. For most species, they're scared of people. They don't want to be around them. But human activity can also be associated with some reward. We leave out garbage. Actually, the mountain goats in Glacier National Park like to eat human urine for the minerals. And so we also took away some reward when people were not around. And so we saw that the scales could tip in either direction.
So, chicken and egg situation here. Which drove which? Did the animals who were willing to explore found these other benefits and then that made them explore over and over? Or did they just happen to continue to explore and explore and as a result receive the reward of these benefits, such as the food sources that were around?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it can kind of go both ways. You can see this habituation to human risk as a precursor to this food conditioning and association of humans with rewards. But also sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes animals just never take the risk and just never learn that there's actually some benefit associated with people. And actually, honestly, we like it when that happens because then that means that they're getting into less trouble with us. And so I do think that some degree of risk perception of humans by animals can be a good thing for allowing us to live in the same place without getting into conflict with each other.
Did the animals who were willing to explore the human areas keep on doing that day after day after the pandemic was over? In other words, did they venture into the human use areas after they were vacated for the day?
Our study only really looked at 2019 and then 2020. So we don't have a lot of data. I can't speak to what happened overall when people came back after parks were opened. But we did see just anecdotally in some places that once animals learned that actually there's pretty good habitat around this human development, they didn't want to leave when the parks were opened. And that did create some conflict.
One final thing. What would you say to people who want to venture anywhere at all in these national parks? Does your study explain why that could make problems for some of the animals?
I don't think the takeaway is that we shouldn't ever be in national parks because it could have potentially negative impacts on animals. I think that what it tells us is that even if we're not seeing animals when we're out and about hiking and camping in the wilderness, they're there and they often know that we are there. So I think it's up to us to make sure that we're staying on trails, we're following rules, we're practicing proper food storage and going into the areas where people are permitted to go and then leaving the other areas for the animals. And I think we can live alongside animals in protected areas and even outside of them by respecting their need for some space.
Dr. Caitlin Gaynor at the University of British Columbia, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your study.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
That wraps up this episode of InfoTrack. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm your host, Chris Whitting. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next time for another InfoTrack broadcast.